Remarks of the President at Ephrata, Washington, 2 October 1952.
Very much. I can't tell you how very much I appreciate that welcome you've given me on my return trip to this great country. You see, I've been out here before on several occasions. I was here particularly one time on a non-political trip to inspect Grand Coulee. But I'm frank to tell you, this time I'm here on a strictly political mission. I'm campaigning for the Democratic ticket. You see, I'm, as President of the United States, I'm the head of the Democratic Party, and I'm anxious to see the good works of the Democratic Party carried on. And there's some very fine candidates on this train today. Your own candidates here in Washington. They're just about the best team of good men you would ever hope to find. You have a candidate for auditor named Cliff Yell. And that's a familiar name back in Missouri and North Arkansas, and they're all good people. And if he's as good as those back in that part of the country, you can't do any better than to elect him. Now, I understand that you have a man running for Congress here in Washington by the name of William Bryan. Well, now, one of the greatest orators that ever lived was William J. Bryan, and I was a great admirer of his. I heard him making a speech one time down not far from Independence, and there, in those days when a candidate made a speech out in the country, he had to have a voice. He didn't have these things. And they'd make him a platform. He'd get up above the crowd, and then everybody around could hear him. He didn't have any platform there, so they wheeled out a manure spreader. Bryan got up in the manure spreader and he said, "That's the first time he ever made a speech from the Republican platform." We have a candidate for congressman at large in this state, the name of Don Magnuson. Well, that seems to be a pretty good name here in the great state of Washington. If he's as good as the Magnuson that I'm well acquainted with, you'll have excellent representation in the House of Representatives if you send Don Magnuson there. Now, I've known Hugh Mitchell a long time. He was in Congress and he was in the Senate, and he was associated with my good friend Munn Walgren, and he's a candidate for governor in this state, and I hope you'll elect him. I believe you will. You should, anyway. Then there's Henry Jackson. I didn't know till this morning that his name was Henry. I always called him Scoop. He's made a good public servant. And if you send him to the Senate, the great state of Washington will have wonderful representation in that body. And it's necessary that you should have forward-looking men to represent you in the House and the Senate. The reason that you have these wonderful projects here in this community is because you've had forward-looking men in the House and the Senate to help bring them about. And I want to say to you, we didn't have much help from the Republicans when we were trying to bring them about either. Now, we've got a national ticket that, in my opinion, is the best the party has ever offered the voters. Adlai Stevenson is a remarkable new leader. Like Roosevelt, he's had good experience in government, and he's proved himself a real friend of the everyday man. He understands your problems. He showed that when he spoke out here in Seattle. And John Sparkman is the same sort of a man. For 15 years in Congress, he's been working and voting for the things that benefit all the people. And that's what you want to make yourselves familiar with, the record. Don't let anybody come out here and tell you what he's done. Make him prove it. I'm drawing the record on these birds, and when the record's shown to you, you can't possibly do anything else but elect the Democrats. You know, I'm very much interested in the names of the towns I visit. The name of Ephrata that tell me reminds me of the old Bible town in Palestine, which was a part of the great fertile crescent that stretched all the way from the Nile to the valley of the Tigris and the Euphrates. In the old days, that is the cradle of civilization, because there was an ideal combination of land and water. Not much of it. Now much of that country has become a desert. It's just the opposite. This countryside was pretty barren for lack of water. Now we're bringing Columbia River water to this land. This area will blossom and become a great center, just like the old Tigris, Euphrates Valley of ancient times. Population of this area has almost doubled in 10 years' time. And I'm told that this town is about five times as big as it was 10 years ago. And that's just the beginning. When this whole Columbia Basin project is fully underway, there'll be 1 million acres of new land under cultivation, and that the acreage will support the population four times what it is today. And you know what the Republicans said about the construction of that great project? They said there would be nothing but coyotes and prairie dogs in this part of the world, and that if the dam was built, it would be in a desert, and the desert would stay that way. That's how forward-looking they were. I want you to remember those things when you go to the polls this November. This wonderful development is the kind of thing that should be done over in the old Euphrates region. It can be made into a fertile country once again, and that would help bring peace and prosperity to the whole Middle East. That's what we're trying to get started through our Part 4 program, helping people to help themselves to do what you are doing here with this great self-liquidating project. It's a long and slow, but it's the best way to fight communism. Stomach communism, I call it. When people are hungry, well, they'll take anything to get something to eat. I call this communism where the people are poor and have nothing to eat, nothing to wear. That's stomach communism. And to bring real peace in the world, that must be overcome. We must clothe them and feed them and get them in a frame of mind where they can do it themselves. And that's what I'm trying to do. Now all this work for progress here and for peaceful development abroad has come about because you've had a government that cares about the people and helps them to do the things they can't do by themselves, and a government that wants to have peace in the world. That's how the Democratic administration has tried to run your government for these last 20 years. And that's what really makes the difference between our political parties. The Republican Party doesn't care about the people because it is controlled by big lobbies, the banks, the power companies, the real estate lobby, and all the rest. The main thing they want the government to do is to help them make a profit for themselves. And you, the people, have to foot the bill. Remember, it's the Republicans who opposed the Grand Coulee from the start, and Bonneville, and Hungry Horse. It's the Republicans who are against Hell's Canyon and Ice Harbor now. They're fighting it tooth and toenail. In 1947 and 48, the Republicans in both houses voted overwhelmingly four separate times to slash the funds for REA and your REA cooperatives. In 1949, a majority of the House Republicans voted against even starting the rural telephone system. In 1950, the Republicans in the Senate voted 2-1 to slash all flood control work in half. In 1951, the majority of the Republicans in Congress voted to scrap our national power policy so the power companies could get a rake off on the transmission of public power. And so it goes, year after year. Not just on these things, but on housing, social security, farm programs, and all the rest. Now, I'm reading you the record. You can read it for yourselves if you get the congressional record and take the time to do it. Congressional record is printed in the most unreasonable form. It's full of speeches by congressmen and senators, but every once in a while, you run across a place where the vote is set down, and the record is made on what these people thought about what was before the Congress. And when you read that vote, you'll find that the Republicans as a whole, in a majority of the cases, always voted against the people. That's what I want you to get into your heads. And if you do that, no amount of hooing that these birds can put out will fool you when the election is over. I don't think you want to put a power party in the control of the government that has the record that the Republicans have. You people are the government. You can vote for your own interests and get the kind of government that you want. And when you don't go to the polls and vote, and when you vote wrong at the polls, you get just what you deserve. You get bad government. And I'm asking you to go to the polls after you've studied these records. Get that fine print and read it, and you'll find out that your interest has been in the hands of the party that's now in power. Well, I want to tell you that when that good-for-nothing 80th Congress was in control, When I made that campaign in 1948, if you hadn't had a Democratic president in the White House, you'd been ruined by now. You never would have got these development, these things done that I'm telling you about. And you want to go to the polls on the fourth day of November and remember that you're the government, it's your interest at stake, it's the interest of the whole nation that are at stake, and it's the peace of the world that's at stake. You take all those things into consideration, you go there, and you vote a straight Democratic ticket, and the country will be safe for another 4 years. Thank you a lot.